Well, we're going to look at that beginning of the story with the angel coming to Mary with the announcement. But where did December go? I don't know if that's how you felt. Last few weeks have absolutely rushed by with various things. And here we are, it's Christmas Eve. I wonder what's the most extraordinary sight that you'd like to see. Now that'd be amazing. You don't have to go far to see that, do you? You just have to pick the right day. The Northern Lights over Ilkley. Extraordinary. I'd love to see the Northern Lights. The power of the sun, you know, flashing through the sky in those colours. Or how about Victoria Falls? That'd be a sight and a sound not to miss. The view from the top of Everest would be rather nice because it implies you've made it there. That'd be another one of my wishes. Or perhaps this one would be an even better view. Can you imagine turning over in your capsule and looking out and seeing the moon rise? Extraordinary sights. But what we're seeing here in this story is an angel appearing to Mary. Now, she was obviously gobsmacked. She was obviously afraid. The angel said, "Do not fear." We don't know what angels look like, but this angel appeared to Mary at a time when she wasn't expecting it. And because we don't know what she looked like, I thought the angel of the north would be a good substitute there. That's a draft sketch of what Anthony Gormley thought it would look like, you know, as he developed his design. There's no mention in the Bible of angels' wings. You've got Ezekiel's vision, but when angels appear to people, they actually appear like people. The word means messenger, and this is a messenger from God. But the angel had to say, "Fear not," because Mary was obviously caught unawares by the appearance of this messenger from God with something to say to her. Who was the angel Gabriel? Well, according to Erin, age 6, the angel Gabriel is a big white fairy. He helped Mary and Joseph look after the baby, kind of like a doctor. Or Molly says the angel Gabriel was also there, and he has yellow wings and a white costume. So there we are. This one, I think, was my favourite of the ones I've read. Millie, age 7. Obviously, the extra year makes all the difference. I don't know who the angel is, but I like Jesus. If that's the takeaway for this morning, just remember that. Words for a 7-year-old. I don't know who the angel is, but I like Jesus. But the angel came with a message, basically that Jesus is coming. He will rule, he's God's son, he will save. Mary, did you know this extraordinary message? Because the next thing that's surprising is that the angel speaks, came with stunning news. I mean, if Mary was surprised at the appearance of Gabriel, she must have been doubly surprised at the news that although she was a virgin, she would give birth, and not just give birth to a child, but to the mighty God, to this extraordinary one that's described by the angel. There is amazing news. Now, Gabriel only appears in the Bible to 3 people. He appears to Daniel, he appeared to Zechariah, and now to Mary. And each time, even to Daniel, he's speaking of the coming one, of the one that God would send to be the saviour of the world. Gabriel always points to Jesus, a messenger from God, with a message for you and me as well, that would point us to the saviour of the world. Then the next wow is that a virgin will conceive. Unique. Now, I've spoken to people who don't believe, who say, "Well, we all know a virgin can't conceive." Utter rubbish. You can't believe what the Bible says. But that is exactly the point. When God came into the world, he came into the world in a unique way. And isn't that what you would expect from the great God who created the universe? If he was going to come to be born as a man, to live amongst men, to die as our substitute on the cross, he would enter the world in a way that was both extraordinary and ordinary. He was God become man. A baby is born. That's how we all entered the world. But in a unique way that proved that he was indeed God's son born on earth. A virgin gave birth. Now this is Anthony Gormley's design for the base, which you can see is considerably bigger than the angel, because imagine what today's winds would have done to the angel of the north if it hadn't had concrete way, way down into the hillside. It was announced 600 years earlier. So this is the prophet Isaiah, who says a virgin will conceive. Now, again, you may be well-informed skeptics, I don't know. So some people point out that the Hebrew word in Isaiah could mean a young woman, or it can mean virgin. There's an assumption from 600 years before that a young girl is unmarried and a virgin. How can we be sure that Isaiah meant it to be a virgin? Well, number one, the Greek translation made 300 years before Christ uses the word virgin. It's even possible that there was a Hebrew version manuscript that used that word, but when it was translated into Greek, they made sure it was crystal clear that the Greek word is parthenos, virgin. But I can be even more sure of that, because what Isaiah says to the king is, ask for a sign. You want to ask for a sign that God's speaking through? Well, I'll give you a sign, God says. The sign is that a woman's going to have a baby. Big sign? No. The big sign is a virgin will have a baby. The next time that Isaiah offers the king a sign, do you know what that sign is? That the shadow of the sun on the sundial will go back 10 spaces. Now, is that a sign? Is that a unique historical event? That the sun should go back on the sundial somehow, despite the earth spinning through space, despite the momentum of the air and all the rest of it, somehow the shadow of the sun goes back. Time not only stands still, but reverses. That's a big sign. And so Isaiah says here, let me give you another sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. Do you remember this? Or perhaps you're still taking tests. The pandemic's just a nightmare in our history, isn't it? But it was a sign, and it was supposed to be absolutely clear. You took the test, and, well, maybe you were positive, maybe you were negative. But it was meant as a sign. The Lord himself, says Isaiah, will give you a sign. Positive. You can know that when this happens, then she will have a baby whose name will be called God with us. This is what Emmanuel means. The Lord himself will give you a sign. And then Isaiah says a bit later, you'll conceive and give birth to a son. You're to call him Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. That's no ordinary baby, is it, Isaiah's speaking about? A special God on earth. Sorry, I was reading Luke, not Isaiah, but I put them both up there so you can see the correspondence between what Isaiah says and what the angel says. Because the angel, in speaking to Mary, is picking up those words so that it would be a sign for Mary that this really was God's son. And as she bore the disgrace of being an unmarried mother, as she watched her child grow up, as the prophecy said, a sword would pierce her own heart as she saw her son abused, maltreated, then eventually she stood and watched him dying on the cross. The sign would tell her that this was the Saviour of the world that Isaiah had promised, the one who would bring peace to all nations, who would call people to come to him, who would offer forgiveness of sins, who would be the Lamb of God, etc., etc. It's all there, 600 years earlier. The angel came to Mary with a message that the Saviour of the world would be born. Now, interestingly, Mary fades out of the picture. She appears a couple more times in the New Testament. She appears at the wedding of Cana. Do whatever he says, she says about Jesus. She's there as a witness at the cross, and she's there when the disciples gather at the beginning of Acts with the resurrection. But then she disappears. Because the focus of the Bible is always on Jesus, the son that she bore, the Saviour of the world. And that name was a given name that God chose. Now, names have meanings. So here in the name Jesus, given by the angel, we have a meaning. Now, fortunately, Margaret is here, because as far as I know, she's the only person in this congregation who can read that name out. And I'm not going to ask you to do it now, but afterwards, if you want to know, then if you want to know the place name with the longest name, there you are. I don't know if the weather forecaster managed it. It probably would have taken half the time he had allotted for the forecast. But you will know that the name means St. Mary's Church in the hollow of the White Hazel near a rapid whirlpool, in the church of St. Tislio near the Red Cave, in Welsh. Here we have a name with a meaning, because he's named Jesus in this passage, but in the Matthew passage, it records that a bit more was added. You shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the Christmas message, as Jenny highlighted. Christmas cards are lovely. Christmas pudding, well, most people think it's lovely. Mince pies, seeing friends, relatives, whatever else you do at Christmas, all very nice. But it's not about the sentiment. It's not even about the story of the babe in the manger, as it were, that you see on so many Christmas cards and nativity sets here, there and everywhere. The message of Christmas is that God came into the world to be the Saviour of the world, that he would save their people, his people, from their sins, that he would pave a way for us to know God in a personal way, even though we have done wrong. Anyone see this in Bradford earlier this year?
I knew you would have done that. You may have seen it, Jenny, but not in Bradford, I suspect. What is it? The knife angel. So not the angel Gabriel, but a knife angel. And what's it there for? Made out of, I think, 10,000 knives?
Okay, the knife angel amnesty. So if any of you are carrying illegal weapons, then there's a place you can hand. What's an amnesty? It means that if you come forward with your horrible, wicked knife and bring it forward at that time, then there's an amnesty. They won't punish you for it. And I think that's the message of the angel Gabriel here. It means you're let off if you acknowledge your guilt.
And that's becoming a Christian. Jesus came so that those who could acknowledge their sinfulness before God could come to him and have a sin amnesty, that they could know their sins were forgiven and they could know peace with God. Because the angels, the message, a bit later on, the angel's message to the shepherds, his mercy extends to those who fear him. Jesus came to show mercy, to show peace and forgiveness, to allow an amnesty. But not an amnesty for everyone who's carrying a knife. An amnesty for those who bring their knives to the collection centre, hand them in without fear of punishment. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful Saviour. Although we've gone astray, he is willing to take us, to welcome us back, so that we too can, in a different sense from Jesus, but we can be sons and daughters of the living God because we're adopted into his family. We have a relationship with him. And then the last thing that the angel says to Mary here is, no word from God ever fails. The angel's quoting from something 600 years old. God made a promise 600 years earlier. No word of God fails. And so a virgin conceives, and his name will be the Most High, and he will sit on the throne of his father David. He will rule forever. His kingdom will never come to an end. No word of God fails. And the promise of God to receive, to welcome, to change, and to love forever those who come to him is a promise that will never fail and can be applied to us. So, may the Lord bless us as we think of the words of the angel today, tomorrow as we think of Jesus' birth. Happy Christmas, if I don't get a chance to say it any other time. But the only way to know true peace and happiness this Christmas is to know the message of the angel, that a Saviour, a boy child, will be born who will die on the cross for you and for me. We're going to sing as we finish, what kind of greatness can this be? That God made himself small to be born in the manger so that he could be exalted, lifted higher, and that every knee could bow and call him Lord. What kind of greatness can this be?